G'day Sports by Fry fans, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sports by Fry podcast, coming at you after the first official game of the AFL preseason. Collingwood get the dub by 30 points. Two teams that aren't exactly fantasy relevant, but this will be a very quick episode just discussing the fantasy factors from that game. A couple of other housekeeping things. If you are listening to this on Wednesday morning, that means that the Fantasy Sports by Fry Patreon is live. So you can check all of my socials to find the links for that comprehensive rookie coverage throughout the AFL fantasy season and a couple of other bits and pieces that I have in the works. So make sure you check that. You can also go to the Dream Team Talk website, where I dropped my Cash Cow Bible for the 2024 season, a rookie watch list, if you will. I covered 80 plus cash cows, talked about which ones I think are going to be relevant at the start of the season, some blokes to add to your watch list for the second half of the year and after the buys who could emerge as downgrade targets, and plenty of other bits and pieces in between. But like I said, this episode is not designed to be a long one, so let's get into it. Weird game between Collingwood and Richmond. I know it was the first, in quotation marks, official game of the preseason, but there's not a lot of fantasy relevant players taking part in this clash. Strange ending as well. There was a bit of a scrap, and then Billy Frampton unloaded a 60-meter barrel to, like I said, give Collingwood a win by 5 goals. I think that they were kind of just in cruise control throughout. I think at halftime, predominantly all the Collingwood players were leading the fantasy stats and the possession getters. So there wasn't a ton to take away out of this preseason hit out that coaches probably didn't already know, but let's whiz through a couple of bits and pieces. Pat Lipinski was the top scorer, 23 touches and 2 snags. I don't know if too many coaches will be out there targeting him, but he may emerge as someone that you could target in draft. It is a bit of a shame that, he is a forward. Sorry, I was about to say it's a shame he's only a midfielder, but maybe a nice string for your bow in the forward line. Similar with Isaac Quaynor in the back line. He chewed a lot of fantasy points late to finish on a score of 95. Just a few points underneath him was Richmond's best in Jaden Short. Now, I've been quite bullish on Jaden Short. He led the game in disposals, didn't have a lot of marks in his 92 points, but he is someone that I think could very possibly push 100 average and vibe for a top six defender status this year. From the Collingwood midfield standpoint, don't read too much into the numbers from DeGoey, Dacos, Josh and Nick Dacos, but all three of them looked elite. I think that if you are trusting them in your draft leagues, you can pick them. Long-time listeners will know that I'm very bullish on picking Nick Dacos to start your classic season as well. So the three of them did their chances no harm. Shea Bolton from the Richmond side, he impressed me as well. He only kicked 3 points and finished with a score of 72. If he had have kicked one or two of those goals, he might have got closer to 90. So it's a shame he has one of those early buys as well, but he was doing his thing. And similar to Jaden Short, I wouldn't be shocked if at season's end he was a top 10 forward and someone that emerged as a very unique starting pick. Lachie Schultz, from an actual football standpoint, he was pretty good for the Pies, I thought. Kicked one goal too. It's a shame as a Dockers man to see him in black and white rather than purple, but c'est la vie. One of the cheaper options who scored reasonably well was Charlie Dean. Only came on to play about the last third of the game, call it, but chewed up a lot of plus sixes, took 8 marks. I don't expect him to play in round 0 or round 1, but at 200K as a defensive option, he's someone worth watching and keeping an eye on. Tom Mitchell, not the same fantasy player that we've known and loved in the past now that he's at the Pies. He's a no-go in classic, but he'll probably still average you around the 90 mark when it comes to your draft leagues. When I'm looking at Richmond again, Thompson Dow is an interesting player, and I think he's someone that could have a pseudo breakout this year. He had 20 touches, 16 of them handballs, so his score wasn't incredible, finishing on 57. Kicked a snag late as well, but he was someone that was in and around it, and I thought in the 80-odd percent of game time he did play, he looked all right. 400K is too much to pay up for him in Classic. Otherwise, he'd have a lot more suitors. Similar with Sam Naismith as well. Now we know that Toby Nankervis is battling a foot injury, so he may not play straight off the bat in round 0, round 1, or maybe even a couple of weeks at the start of the fantasy season. So Naismith could be a draft slider, especially if you're batting a bit deep or playing multiple rucks in your draft league. Probably someone that's quite super coach relevant as well. And I know that generally I talk AFL fantasy, but I will be making a super coach team this year. And I think that I'll be covering a couple of nitbits throughout the super coach fantasy season as well. Dusty was relatively quiet. if you're a fan, don't read too much into his score. It's still a no for me, but he was out there just kind of getting through the game, going through the motions. Jack Graham was a bummer. The bloke got injured the last minute of the game. Doesn't sound like it's anything serious, but if he is in your draft team, maybe that's something to watch. From a cheaper standpoint, a couple of other Magpies I want to touch on. Reef McInnes finished with a couple of scoring shots. He as well only played about a third of the game, came on about halfway through the third quarter. We thought he might be the answer for a Dan McStay replacement. Don't know if I have the same amount of confidence after seeing him not play a ton. And I've buried the lead because the big talking point out of this game was the fact that Finlay McRae did not come on until halfway through the third quarter, which screams to me that he's going to be the sub candidate for Collingwood. At least we get a look at him in round zero, which is half a bonus. But again, he only played 36% time on ground. He had a chunk of the footy with 10 touches in that stretch, but it was alarming that Finn McRae wasn't at least rotated through. Now, even if he wasn't at centre bounces, he wasn't on the ground at all until halfway through the third quarter. So at $310,000, that is a little bit of a flag and something that I'll be watching not only in round zero, but just to see how his ownership percentages flops and change. He's someone that I've tossed with my last on-field position. Sometimes I've put him on my bench. Depends a bit on how my structure is finalised, but he's in 23% of teams. So if you do chop him to a cheaper option and save yourself 60, 70, 100K even, that does free up some other opportunities around the ground to upgrade another position. So I think Finlay McRae's low TOG was something that a lot of the fantasy community will be talking about. And time on ground and role is really what you want to look for in these pracky games. So like I said, not a massive episode, but those are the couple of takeaways that I saw from this preseason clash. We do get the D's and Carlton playing tomorrow. I'll try and get that episode up as well Wednesday night, but worst case scenario, it'll be on the airwaves Thursday morning. And then we are treated to a doubleheader Thursday, and then the blow-on effect of the rest of the preseason kicks in. So thanks for listening to this quickfire Sportsby episode. I will catch you next time.